is an eternal God. Thank you for choosing us, making us your own. Thank you, God, that we belong to the family of royalty. We don't deserve it, but it was you who chose us. It was you who got us to this place on this morning that we may hear a word from you. So, Lord, come now. Prepare us. Touch our ears, our hearts, our mind. Hold back every force of evil that only your spirit has freedom, that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. We are your church. So let us hear what the Spirit has to say to his church. And Father, as I stand here on holy ground, I know I'm not worthy, but it's you who have appointed me at such a time as this. So, Lord, let my spirit decrease that your spirit may increase. Come, manifest your presence, that we would hear from you and only you. And you alone will be glorified, and your body will be edified, and every force of evil will be horrified. We thank you for your profound, prolific word. In Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees, shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Verse number one, it says, when the Lord your God, say he's mine.
Mine.
When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers you, delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughters to their son, nor take their daughters for your son. For they will turn your ways away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. Verse number six, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all people, but because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to his father, the Lord has brought you out of the mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God.
Hallelujah.
The faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations, get this part, with those who love him and keep his commandment. He repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment and statutes and judgments which I command you today to observe them. Isn't that good? God says you don't have to worry. All you have to worry about is loving him, keeping his commandment, and the ones who hate him, that means they will hate you. He says, don't worry about them because I'm gonna take care of them face to face. Isn't that good? Well, wait, now this was the covenant that he made, okay, that he made with the people of Israel, the chosen people. Remember, he chose people? Yeah. Now turn to 1 Peter, chapter number 2. Sorry, verse number 3. We there? If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Is he gracious? Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God as precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse number 9. But you are a chosen generation. Say, I'm chosen. A royal priesthood, a holy nation,
yes.
His own special people. Say, I'm special.
Hallelujah.
That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Hallelujah.
Once you were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. In 1 John, it says, God is love. Here we see in the Old Testament, he chose people. In the New Testament, he chose people. Go ahead and say, I'm chosen.
I'm chosen.
I want you to meditate on this topic. I'm chosen by love. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm chosen.
Chosen.
Amen. You may be seated. you may be seated. It is something that we have not really embraced how special we are to God. And I know why, because in Deuteronomy, it speaks about this covenant that God made with his people. And even though the people were in bondage and never changed the covenant that he made, God would never break a promise. God said he will not put more on you than you could bear. You best believe God will not put more on you than you can bear. God has a plan for all of his people because you're special to him. And so God, because God could not break a promise, I love what the writer does. He begins to write in chapter number 7 and talks about the promise that God has on his chosen people. And what God wants you to know is that you are chosen by his love and not according to any standard that you are trying to meet. You could never meet the standard in which God chose you because he chose you through his love. His love is greater than any other love. It does not even formulate with the love that we speak out of our mouth or the love that you have ran into. And therefore, we have ran into many loves who have hurt us because they could not love the way God loved. And, you know, a lot of time we blame it on God because of our choice. And we have chose somebody, and the one we chose left us. The one we chose hurt us. And so we become mad at God based on our choice, and we cannot be mad at God because it's not God's fault. And every time somebody messes up on one that God loved, God proves himself to be faithful. So it's not God's fault, it's God's faith. So because people have let you down and hurt you, God has always remained with you. Because you would have never known him to be faithful unless he put you in a position where he could prove just how faithful he is. And so then we can encapsulize that because God is sovereign, no matter what goes on in your life, it has to get his approval before it happens. And if it has to get God's approval before it happened, and God loves you, whatever is happening, God is working out for your good. It might seem all bad. It might even feel all bad. But I guarantee you that anything that has happened before that was bad, that you thought was bad, has worked out for your good. Because everything that hurt you ended up helping you. You are stronger because of it.
Hallelujah.
In this, let us understand how the writer begins to write, and he begins to talk about these seven other nations. I'm going to categorize these seven nations as seven spirits, because these seven spirits still exist today. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and guess what? They've even multiplied, because we got the backbites, the haterites, the jealousites, spirits. They done got together and multiplied. And now we got to fight off more than they had to fight off. And the reason why is because God told them to utterly destroy them. And they did like we do. They went to destroy them and then seen something that they liked. And so they took something that they like and did not utterly destroy and burn down their altar. And so these spirits still live today. I wish to God they just would have just destroyed them and wiped them out so that we could be at peace with one another. Because they did not, now we got jealousite that breaks out in us. And before you know it, jealousite then graduated and becomes a haterite. And so we are really at war with spirits, and we think they're people. But spirits occupy bodies that are disobedient to God. That's why God says to us, "You are my chosen people. You are royalty. You are part of kingdom, the kingdom of God. Although you still walk on the earth, you have kingdom in you." That's why he says in the prayer, pray this way, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." In other words, when the kingdom comes down inside of you, then you can operate in the will of God. But without the kingdom, you can't operate in the will of God. So therefore, you have to accept Christ as your Savior to receive kingdom inside of you. Then you begin to operate in obedience with God. But without Christ, you're disobedient. So then Paul talks about this war that's going on within you because Christ comes in, but yet you're still in the flesh and you still got these ways that you think about and you want to please yourself. And you still want God, but you want to please you too. So we're at war. But the Bible said that he has given us all power to conquer everything. And so in this chapter, he says, You're a special people. He says, I chose you. Get this. You didn't choose God. He chose you. Before you were in your mother's womb, God chose you, and he put a date that you would turn to him and begin to receive who he is, because it wasn't your choice. It was his choice. And you made a whole lot of choices in your life, but God's love chose you, and you've chose other loves, and those other loves hurt you. And God says, when I choose you, receive my love so that you'll be able to return back my love unto me, because all I want is your love back, which I have given you.
Yes, yes.
So then he says, if you love me, you're giving me back me. I don't want you. I want what I've put in you. Because what I've put in you is designed to change you.
Amen.
So that you'll become more like me.
Yes.
God says, I'm doing this. So we could take no credit. Yeah, I know you come to church now. Yeah, I know you know two scriptures. And you know, it's sort of funny that people in the church, people come to church, and there are people who are spiritual in the church. Ooh, they can pray. They can get down and say some good old prayer. And life is raggedy. Live any old kind of way on Monday, but they could come into church and pray up a storm on Sunday. Because they're spiritual. Just because you're spiritual doesn't mean you're obedient. God's not impressed about how good you can pray or how many scriptures you learn. The devil knows more scriptures than all of us.
Tell the truth. Come on. Real.
God wants back what he gave you. And then he says, so if you love me, so go ahead and say, I love the Lord.
I love the Lord.
Tell the truth.
I love the Lord.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And he loves him some you. Because it would be impossible for you to say you love him if he didn't love you. Or you would say it, but you would just be a liar. But when he chooses you, he gives you his love. And he says, now, if you love me, keep my commandment. So then, in 2 Peter, it says you should no longer do this, and you should no longer have envy. You shouldn't be desiring these other things. You got to grow up now. You know right from wrong. And then you do wrong and expect right to happen for you. It don't work like that. Right, when you hook two rights up, it makes more right. You hook up two wrongs, it's gonna make two wrong. I was listening to a minister, and he said, you know, I had a friend, and my friend he lied to me, he hurt me. And I said, okay, I'm not gonna deal with you no more, Robert. And so he cut Robert off. Robert lied on him and hurt him, and then he wouldn't speak to Robert no more. And later on, another friend called him years later. Said, hey, man, how Robert doing? I don't talk to Robert no more. Why not? Well, Robert did this and that to me. He said, he did this and that. He said, yeah. He said, hey, so you don't talk to him? No, I don't talk to him. He said, why not? He said, because he did this and that. He said, have you ever did this or that?
Right.
To anybody?
Come on.
He said, yeah. And he thought for a minute. He said, oh, man. He said, I messed up. I'm up here holding him hostage, but at the same time holding myself hostage, because Robert was my friend. He said, and then he said, I called Robert and said to Robert, Robert, I'm sorry, man, I haven't spoken to you. You my friend. And Robert said, you know what? I'm sorry for what I did to you. Now, I thought about that for a minute. Robert did wrong. The other man did even more wrong because he took his wrong, held it against him, and put it on top of him. Well, it was too hard for Robert to get up because the weight of more wrong was on top of him. But as soon as he took his wrong off, then Robert was able to say how wrong he was. If you understand that just because somebody does you wrong doesn't mean that you got to do wrong. If they do you wrong, you got to mess up and do right anyway. Don't even realize you are holding somebody down because you are putting wrong on top of wrong. God's love forgave you before you did it, while you were doing it, and after you did it too.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
God's love is covering you.
Thank you.
While you were a sinner, even while you were a saint, and mess up and sin on accident, God's love still covers you. Is there anybody in here that wants to give out love instead of give out the wrong thing just so that you can give God back what he wants from you?
Thank you.
He says, you are a chosen people. Say, I'm chosen.
Chosen.
You're chosen by the Most High God. Get this. We invest a whole lot in people who choose us. We do. We start off planning on how we gonna please them. Ladies, you know how it is. You get chosen. Oh, he's fine. He's fine. You even brush your teeth before you call him.
Oh. Hey. I want one of those.
You know how it is. And men, we invest in the ones, you know. Oh yeah, she chose me back. And men, we try to get it all tight and right, and we start rehearsing in the mirror what we're gonna say.
Come on now, tell the truth.
Trying to get ready for the one who chose us. I have a question. How much time did you spend getting ready for the one who chose you today? You don't have to wait to get to the church before you're ready. You ought to wake up getting right with the one who chose you. Get your spiritual toothbrush. Get your spiritual makeup on. Get your spiritual outfit on. And get before the Lord and give him all that he deserves for making you his choice. I'm chosen. When you realize that you are chosen by the best, you will start acting like the best. Just say he's the best. And so he says, if he loves that way, we gotta love this way. And so he is training us. He is teaching us. And inside of us, he is working all things. You think you're doing it, but you are not doing it. It is him doing it in you. Only thing that you have to do is obey as he works through you. Be submitted to his will and not your will. Want what God wants for you more than what you want for you. The reason why we become so frustrated is because we want God to fit inside of our wants. We want God to fix it this way. We want him to fix it at a certain time. And if he doesn't do it our way, And if he doesn't do it on time, we start complaining and whining. But God does things in perfect timing. Do you know that he didn't have to send Jesus down and suffer on a cross and get beat all night? He could have sent Jesus down here, and Jesus could have came down here and did like this and whooped every demon. Didn't even have to say nothing. He's that raw. God is awesome. He don't even have to speak it. God can see it and it happen. That God chose you. Yes. Now here's the good part. Then he put his spirit inside of you. Now you have power inside of you. That power should be conquering you. But we want the power to conquer everything else, but we don't want it to conquer us. And so that power is trying to, listen, that power is conquering your will, because you want your will and God has to have his will. But we want to stay in control and we want to be safe with it. And most of us still have a hold of the wheel and want to turn this way and take the easy route because it looks good for us. But God said, I got to take you through the rough neighborhood because there's somebody you're going to have to pick up along the way. So he drives you through the rough neighborhood because he didn't choose you just for you. He chose you so that you could reach somebody else who's in a bad situation like you were in. So he drives you through the rough neighborhood and your car breaks down. And before you know it, you got folks in the back seat that you got to drive along. Because if you would have had it your way, you would have stayed in the limo, went on the vacation, and made it all about you. But God didn't choose you for you. He chose you out of darkness so that you can go pull others out of darkness. And there's still some times where we experience darkness. But you have the light. So if you have the light, why don't you turn it up if your situation is dark? Preacher, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about, why don't you get closer to the one that connected you to the light so you can get more power? Spend some more time with him and not talking about what's wrong. Just begin to talk to who's right, and then your light brightens up, and all of a sudden it don't matter if it's dark or not, because you have enough light in you that the darkness flees. He said in the text, watch this. He says, God chose us to proclaim the praises of him who brought you out of darkness. And then he says, you were once not a people, but now you are a people. He says, I chose you that you may proclaim the praises. You can praise God no matter what. We want to pick and choose when we want to praise God. But God wants you to praise him when? All the time. How about when it looks good? All the time. How about when it looks bad? All the time. Why? Because he says, I inhabit the praise of my people. Means yes. I live in praise. Yes. If you ever want to see God in a bigger way, when your situation don't look good, begin to praise him anyway. Yes, somebody said, that's my choice. Now he made you his choice. And every day you have a choice. Choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, yes, we shall serve the Lord. You know, I woke up on Friday, and I read some affirmations. It said, I'm chosen of God, I'm worthy of God, I'm beautiful in God. He's special to me, I'm special to him. He loves me, I love him. I live for him, he lives through me. I choose today to have a great day full of joy. That was a choice. And I said, Lord, I choose this day. This is gonna be a day of joy. And I started off, and it was a great day. It was so nice, and I believed it. And so I kept saying, I'm having a great day, I'm having a great day. Have you ever got hit with something that makes you mad? Well, I said, let me pay my Sprint bill. And the lady at Sprint told me last month my bill was gonna be reduced. I was paying a 300 plus bill and it was gonna be reduced to 200 plus, so I was happy, let me pay my Sprint bill. So I hit star 3. I thought about it for a minute. I said, why do they have to choose to pay the bill star 3? I said, that's just for me. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy. God, you with me on this bill. I hit star 3, and the lady came on and said, would you like to pay your bill now? You are currently due 700 and something. And I looked at the phone, and I hung up. Because she wasn't talking about what I needed to hear. Isn't that something how, look, these ites will always try to steal your joy? And so I said, I don't want to talk to you. I'm going to the Sprint store so I can speak to somebody face to face. Now get this, I knew that I was filled with joy. And so I was determined that no matter what happens, I'm going in there to bring change. Everybody in there without joy is gonna get joyful.
All right, come on.
You wanna know why? Because God has that much power. So I went in there, I said, where's so-and-so? They said, she'll be back in a minute. I came back later. They said, why do you want her? I said, because she always helps me. She told me I'm her favorite customer. So I went back in. I had the biggest smile on my face. She said, oh, here you come. I said, yeah. She said, what's going on? I said, my bill. And the man was standing next to me being helped by somebody else. He was hot. This is going on with my phone. And he was mad. And I said, my bill. She said, what's going on with your bill? I said, well, you told me it was going to be $200. I said, my bill is $700-something. He said, $700-something. And you smiling? I said, yeah, I'm smiling. Why are you smiling? I said, because I'm not focusing on what was or what is. I'm focusing on what will be. Amen. I said, she's here to help me because I'm her favorite customer. And so she got a hold of the bill. She's working. And then she reduced it by $400-something. She said, and then they're going to give you a credit next month. I said, okay. And the man, he's watching our conversation. And we're so happy. He said, what's your name? I said, Felix. See, Felix mean happy. He said, Felix, I need to hang out with you. So while he's getting happy, the girl next to him was ready to leave Sprint, and she was unhappy. The manager was freaking out because she was beating him up. And all of a sudden, she starts laughing. He helps her with something he couldn't help her with before. Everybody in there is happy. My bill is reduced, and I'm skipping out of there. And she turns around. She said, are you happy? I said, no. I said, I'm full of joy. But it's about to get better. She said, well, how could it get better? The man ran out. He said, wait a minute, don't go without shaking my hand. I'm just saying all of this because when you share the love of God, it changes everything. So I told them it was going to get better, and they were trying to figure out how it was going to get better. Well, I went down the safe way because I read in Deuteronomy that we were going to be blessed and we were going to be a blessing. I went down there because she told me, and she was drinking Starbucks. She said, I'm pregnant, and I love me some Starbucks. I ran down there and bought her a Starbucks gift card. Came back in the store, ran over and slapped it on the desk. She said, hey. I said, that's for my favorite rep here. She said, that's my favorite customer. The manager said, hey, what about me? She said, you my favorite customer too. The other people said, you my favorite customer too. When I walked out of there, I was everybody's favorite because I brought joy into the room. All we have to do is bring the love of God, which produces the joy in us, and we'll bring out the fruit of the Lord. Let me tell you something. God is the best at everything. And listen, he chose you. Why would he choose you? To make you the best. Even though others have chosen you and tried to make you the worst, I'm going to just share this with you. It wasn't love. I can't categorize what it was, but it wasn't love. And so don't let this taint your perception of what love is, because love will look at the very least of you and still desire you. And that's what God has done. He chose you so he could show you off. To who? To everyone. He's going to show people what he could do with the ones that got thrown away. Anybody ever leave you before? Everybody in here probably been left at least one good time. Somebody threw you away, and somebody else was waiting on you. See, God has a plan.
Yeah, that's true.
And he wants you to know that you are his choice. You're not man's choice. You're his choice. He chose you to make you and you have to embrace it. Why do you have to embrace it? Because there's other forces that are mad because of how special you are. And so they're coming at you. But you have everything in you to conquer it. And you don't have to let out those vicious words. They don't work. I guarantee you, you turn around and love them anyway. Release Jesus on them.
Yes.
They will go and leave. And listen, you will run out those demonic spirits that's in them. Why? Because you are that powerful. We don't have to fight people. We got to love people. Let God repay the evil face to face. And the reason why God hasn't done it is because you keep your face in the way. That's why he says to humble yourself. Come here for a minute. Humble yourself. Because here's the picture. Stand back there, God. Come up here, enemy. When evil is coming at you, the problem with the evil is you. It's not that. That's doing its job. The problem is you're not doing yours. You're supposed to love God. And if you love God, you become obedient. And if you're obedient, you know that you're not supposed to fight with him. Because this is a person filled with evil. So don't fight the person filled with evil. It says, humble yourself before the Lord. So when you humble yourself, when you're fighting, you all up in his face. And God's standing back here saying, When you gonna let me take care of this? And then after you get so tired of fighting with a devil that you're fighting on his terms, and after you get tired of it, finally you cry out to God, I'm tired, and start crying out to God. Well, you've humbled yourself. Now they're face to face. See, you're going to have to bend down on your knees and pray and let God have his way. And he will have his way as long as you let him have his way and get out of his way, because he chose you that you would obey him so that he could be the blessing to you. Y'all could be seated. Y'all know how to fight now? Get out. Get out the way. It's about humility. God said, when you humble yourself, listen, when you bow down, you're not going to have to get up this time. He says, I'm going to raise you. The thing about God, when he raises you, nobody can take you down. The problem is we want to raise ourselves. But let God be God. Even though it hurts, this hurt that you go through because you belong to him, this is a good hurt. Women know what it means to have a good hurt, because it hurts real bad with that labor pain. But when that baby come out, it was worth it. And as God says, I'm birthing something new in you through your pain. I chose you. Stick to my plan and obey my commandments, because when you do that, you're showing me that you really love me. Amen. Give God a hand of praise.